Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless. Jeremiah chapter number 38. Amen. Here's what it says. Shephthah, son of Mathan, Gedaliah, son of Pishar, Jekiel, son of Shilemah, and Pishar, son of, I don't know how to pronounce that name, so I'm not going to try to fake that with y'all, heard what Jeremiah was telling all the people when he said, this is what the Lord says. Whoever stays in this city will die by the sword, famine, or plague. But whoever goes over to the Babylonians will live. They will escape with their lives. They will live. And this is what the Lord says. This city will certainly be given into the hands of the army of the kings of Babylon, who will capture it. Then the official said to the king, this man should be put to death. He is discouraging the soldiers who are left in this city, as well as the people, by the things he is saying to them. This man is not seeking the good of these people, but their ruin. So they took Jeremiah and put him in a cistern of Micaiah, the king's son, which was in the courtyard of the guard. They lowered Jeremiah by ropes into the cistern. It had no water in it, only mud. And Jeremiah sank down in the mud. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Do me a favor before you take your seats. I want you to practice this with a smile. Today, type smile on your face like somebody gave you their lottery winnings. Type smile on your face like you went to pay a bill and realized it had already been paid. Type smile on your face. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, good morning. Glad to see you. Glad to be in church. This morning's sermon is Unlikely Hero. Amen. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Hey, neighbor. How you doing? Glad to be in church. This morning's sermon is Unlikely Hero. Amen. And amen. Unlikely Hero. I'm not getting any volume here, so I'm not sure if it's plugged in or if it's just me. All right, I'm going to use my preacher voice. I've been Black and Baptist my whole life, so I'm going to be able to throw my voice. So here it is, Unlikely Hero. Will you pray with me as we prepare to hear God's word? Heavenly Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. Lord, prepare us to hear your word. Prepare our minds, prepare our hearts, prepare our spirits to receive, thus says the Lord. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Unlikely hero. We're in a series where we're going to explore some of the unsung heroes of the Bible. You know, there are some people in the Bible that don't get preached every Sunday. Now, people like, you know, David, he's going to get preached every Sunday in somebody's church. Abraham, they're going to talk about Abraham in somebody's church every Sunday. But there are some people in the Bible whose names I am sure you don't know. Nevertheless, they are heroes. So we're going to explore some of those. Really, this should be a 4-week series, but it's Easter time, and so we're going to run through two of them, and then we're going to prepare ourselves to hear about another hero that's talked about every Sunday as well, and that is Jesus. As we're diving into the sermon today, I want you to put on your spiritual imagination with me. I need y'all to be deeply spiritually imaginative, right? What would you do if you had superhero powers? What would you do if you had powers like Superman, X-Men type powers like Storm, the Incredible Hulk. If you could run faster, you could dodge bullets. What would you do if you had superpowers? Now, somebody is automatically thinking, if I had superpowers, the next time I'm in traffic, it wouldn't last as long as it's been. If I had superpowers, I would make some bills or people disappear out of me. If I had, some of y'all I know that, come on back, I want you to be spiritual with me. If you had superpowers, what would you do? Would you use your powers to save people who are in danger? Would you use your powers to help others or simply to help yourself? How would you handle it if you woke up tomorrow with superpowers? I wonder if you were given a chance to have some superpowers, how you would take it. A recent poll asked this question, gave participants several options. They asked them, if you could choose which superpower, only one, which one would you choose? Would you choose the power to read minds? I don't want to know what's in everybody else's mind. I'll skip that one. Would you choose the power to have spidey senses, the ability to fly, or to have X-ray vision, or the power to be invisible whenever you want to? Would you want super strength, or to be like a genie and have magic, or great intelligence, or have incredible luck? Which one would you choose? And the majority of the people chose that they would rather fly. Now, I've never had qualified superpowers, but I've flown when I was a kid. I'm country, so we didn't have, you know, stores that sold capes and stuff, and so we made our own. By that, I mean I took one of my grandmama's towels and I wrapped it around my neck and tried to jump off the porch, but I flew. That was my only time of having real superpowers. Brothers and sisters, we all know the reality is the superpowers that's described in the ability to fly or to be invisible, those are things that show up in movies. We know that there's a difference between the Hollywood version of heroes and real life heroes, real life superpower type people. Real life heroes don't wear capes, they don't wear masks, they don't have fancy symbols, they don't run around the streets at night trying to stop would-be robbers. Real life heroes look just like you and me. Real life heroes are the ladies who are working in a cafeteria at a college when you know you can't afford any food, and they say, baby, here you go. Real life heroes is somebody that watched your child while you go to school at night. It's real life heroes. Real life heroes are the ones who saw that you were doing bad in math and they took you aside to tutor you to make sure you wasn't falling behind. Real life heroes who never show up in magazines, they never show up in newspaper or on the evening news, but they've all left the mark in our lives. Real life heroes who look like us, dress like us, and live where we live and work where we work, but have made a major difference in our lives. If you think about the heroes in your life, what have they done for you? One of my real life heroes is a man named Sergeant Bobby Guillory. Sergeant Bobby Guillory down in New Orleans. I was in a high school classroom. I was inebriated. I'll use it that way. In class, I was different. I wasn't always preaching. So he called me aside in class, took me into his office, and he told me, young man, God has a different path for your life. The people that you're hanging with and the things that you are doing is not what God would have for you to do. I grew up in church my whole life, but sitting in a classroom at ROTC, I accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And it transformed my life because the people I was hanging around never graduated, and some of them aren't even alive today. He was a hero for me. Never on the cover of anybody's magazine, but he chose to speak up and to do something when he saw somebody going down the wrong path. If you think about your own life, I'm sure you can remember people that have been heroes for you. The Bible is filled with countless examples of God using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. You know, we like to think the Bible is filled with super Christians or super holy people because they've got great names. I mean, but the reality is you got somebody like Abraham. Abraham was married but got another woman pregnant. Abraham. You got somebody like David. David saw somebody else's wife had her husband killed while impregnating her. But that nevertheless, these are people who are superheroes in the Bible. And so we sometimes disqualify ourselves as if God cannot use us. There's only one example in the Bible where God chose to use a perfect person. But rather, God chooses to use those of us who are flawed, those of us who know we got messed ups and hang-ups. And God chooses to use us to be heroes. Sometimes we like to think that God some kind of way just uses the wind to do hero sort of things. That God just speaks and all of a sudden our hero type actions take place. But the reality is God uses people like you and me to be everyday heroes. The challenge we have is that a lot of Christians don't really want God to use them. Oh, you want to be blessed by God. You want the nice house, the car, the money, the family. Ah, you want God to give you stuff, but you don't want to be used by God. You want to use God, but not be used by God. God wants to use you as a hero. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say it real slow. God wants to use you as a hero. But pastor, I got this. God wants to use you as a hero. Brothers and sisters, as we dive into our text this morning, we learn something about an unlikely hero. Go with me, if you will, dealing with Brother Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a prophet of God. Jeremiah preaches God's word and tells people, thus says the Lord. There's some people who got mad with Jeremiah. As a matter of fact, verse number 37, they arrested Jeremiah, beat him wrongfully, and threw him in jail. That was Jeremiah. Not today, it was just Jeremiah. What happened to Jeremiah? They arrested him wrongfully, beat him, and threw him in jail. It's chapter number 37. Chapter number 38, Jeremiah is out. Jeremiah is still preaching and teaching, and some haters show up, some evil ones show up, and they go to the king, and they say, King, we don't like what Jeremiah is saying to the people. We don't like it because the soldiers don't want to fight. We don't like it because the people are listening to what Jeremiah has to say, and they say, King, we want him dead. King says, I ain't gonna kill him, but y'all can have y'all way with him. They take Jeremiah, Bible says, and they take him to the back of somebody's house, and they lower him down into a cistern. The cisterns were like really deep wells that they would use to catch rainwater. But at this point in time, it's dried out and there's just mud down there. It's so far down that they can't just throw him into the cistern, into the well, but they lowered him down with ropes in the back of somebody's house. They left him there. Oh, they didn't just kill him immediately. No, we're going to leave him there to die slowly. Jeremiah, you can scream as much as you want to scream. Nobody will hear you because we've lowered you down in a well in the back of somebody's house, and you will be forgotten back here. You won't even be mentioned.
Jeremiah, the one who God was using, finds himself in a well dying. As a matter of fact, there's a drought at the time, and so nobody's bringing Jeremiah any food or water. The plan is for him to starve to death and die in a cistern in the back of somebody's house. How does Jeremiah get out of the situation that he is in? Jeremiah, in chapter number 38, is in a cistern, and he's going to die there. They left him there, and folk went on about their business because Jeremiah was supposed to die in a cistern in the back of somebody's house. In verse number 38, there are 52 chapters in Jeremiah. How does Jeremiah get from chapter 38 to chapter number 52? I'm so glad that you have asked. There is a brother in chapter number 38. Chapter number 38, his name is Abimelech. Abimelech shows us how to be a hero. I told y'all, there's some people in the Bible that you don't normally hear their names every Sunday. There was an Ethiopian brother who was in the area. His name is Abimelech. Verse number 7 says this, but Abimelech, a Cushite, an Ethiopian, an official in the royal palace, heard that they had put Jeremiah into a cistern while the king was sitting at the Benjamin gate. Abimelech went out to the place and said to him, "My lord, the king, these men have acted wickedly in all they have done to Jeremiah the prophet. They have thrown him into a cistern where he will starve to death when there is no longer any bread in the city." Then the king commanded Abimelech the Cushite, "Take 30 men from here with you and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the cistern before he dies." My brothers and my sisters, from Abimelech, we learned 3 things about unlikely heroes and how God uses us to be heroes. First of all, we notice this, that a hero has care and concern. Care and concern. What's interesting is that Jeremiah, who was speaking on behalf of God to the people, is trapped in a cistern, and the people he was speaking to never went looking for Jeremiah. His own people never tried to save Jeremiah. Jeremiah is in a cistern where he is going to die. Okay, I hear you say, "Pastor, I got it. That's Jeremiah in the text." My brothers and my sisters, there are so many people who are trapped in cisterns today. They're trapped in cistern because the devil has made us feel as though nothing is wrong, because we don't notice them. We don't see their issues. We don't see their struggles. We don't see their pain. And so we go on about life not knowing that every single day people are dying in cisterns that the devil has trapped them in. Sin that will keep them there and bind them there. And we go on and go to church every Sunday and we lift our hands and we say, "God bless me and mine, and everything else will be just fine." And the devil is fine with that, because there are so many people who are dying in cisterns, just like Jeremiah. What saved Jeremiah wasn't his own people. What saved Jeremiah was an unlikely hero, a person who was there as a servant from a foreign country, a brother by the name of Abimelech. He saw the issue and he had concern. So many of us are not heroes because we don't even see the issues. Wake up every morning, we get in our nice car, and we go to our government job or to your own office, and then you drive back home, push a button, and let the garage go up, and you go on in. You might wait until your neighbor when you check your mailbox. So we live in a time when we don't even see the issues of people around us. We don't realize that the devil has trapped so many people because we're so busy simply doing us that we don't have time to be a hero. Abimelech teaches us that if you're going to be used by God, you've got to have care and concern for the people who are around you. Yes, that means the young man who lives next door to you. Yes, that means the young lady that you sit next to every morning on the metro. It simply means that you have to be willing to see their issues and see their hurt and know that God can and will use you to help them, because the reality is somebody saw you. Somebody saw your issues. Someone had concern for you. So that's it. First of all, brothers and sisters, we have to have care and concern. Secondly, a hero has courage under fire. Courage under fire. I think I shared last week that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is seeing the fear and choosing to act anyway. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's seeing the fear and choosing to act anyway. Check it out. Abimelech had to go to the king. Abimelech could have died in doing this. Abimelech had courage under fire. But check this out. What's important for me, I'm beginning to wrestle with this simple question. Okay, Abimelech knows that Jeremiah's trapped in the cistern. He's going to die because he don't have any food. Okay. I don't understand why he feels the need to go to the king. Abimelech could have simply gone to where Jeremiah was, given some bread, some water, and made life all right for Jeremiah in the cistern. I mean, that would have been an easy way out. I helped my brother. I did a little something. I mean, ain't nobody doing nothing for me. At least I did that. No, Abimelech said, I'm going to go to the king and not make him comfortable in his issue. Many of us choose to do that. Well, I just give him a little something, and then I ain't going to do nothing else. That ain't really my issue. No, Abimelech said, I'm going to go to the king and I'm going to remove the thing that's trapping this brother. He had courage under fire. He went to the king. He had enough courage to say, king, what's happening is wrong and it needs to be corrected. But then check this out. The king says, I want you to take 30 men, and various versions, either 30 or 3. The Masoretic text, that's the closest we have, it says 30. So he took a lot of people with him. Why did he have to take 30 people with him? Because he knew that other people wanted him dead. And so Abimelech chooses to put himself in harm's way because nobody said Abimelech had to go. Send the 30 brothers. That's 30 of them. I ain't got to be there. Y'all know where he at. Just tell him. I'm the one did it. Hey, man, glad y'all. That's the other bit of us. I ain't going back over. I mean, y'all good? Let him know. I'm the brother. Hey, what's up, bro? Nah, you stay over there. You good. Nah, I'm so glad you're out. That'll be us. Abimelech chooses to go where he is, and then he had to stay there to lift him out. He had courage under fire. My brothers and my sisters, the reality is this. Whenever you allow God to use you to be a hero in somebody's life, you're going to have courage under fire, because the devil will always try to stop you from helping somebody. The devil will always try to block you from helping somebody. When God chooses to tap you and to use you, the devil raises all of hell to try to pause you and to stop you and to make you break down. But the blessing is that Abimelech had people around him. Let's put it another way. The blessing is that there'll be angels and kept around you whenever you dare to stand up and say, God, if you can use anything, you can use me to be a hero in somebody's life. Takes us having courage under fire. But then, my brothers and my sisters, not only is that we have to have courage under fire, Abimelech teaches us that we have to be a hero who lifts others up. It's not simply enough to give a band-aid to the problem. We have to lift some people up. And the reality is, lifting people ain't easy. Let's try it this way. Jeremiah had been down in the well so long. As a matter of fact, the text says Abimelech went and got raggedy clothes and said, put these underneath your arm because you're now so frail. When we put the ropes on you, that will just mess your body up. And so I want you to put the raggedy clothes underneath your arms and if they're pillows so that we can lift you up. And I don't know if you've ever had to lift dead weight before. I don't know if you've ever had to lift somebody who's too weak to move before. But the reality is, it's a lot of work to have to lift somebody up. Let's try it another way. When somebody lifts you up and you was messed up in the street, when somebody lifts you up and you was drunk that time, it ain't easy trying to help somebody. But when God has given you the power to lift somebody, we've got to understand that he will empower us to get the job done. Heroes are willing to lift people when it's not easy. Heroes are willing to go to where the mess is and to pull somebody else out, even when their weight is pulling against you. My brothers and my sisters, if you think about your own life, the grandmama who was a hero for you when you were bad and didn't want to do what they said did to do. You were bad, but they kept on trying. The auntie, the uncle, they just kept praying that God would save you and you didn't want to have anything to do with their prayers, but they didn't stop
praying. The mama who kept saying, baby, God's going to make a way. God's going to make a way. They didn't give up on you when you wanted to give up on yourself. Heroes are willing to lift people even when it's hard. I'm out of your way. I can't be alone today. I just want you to know, my brothers and my sisters, the Bible is filled with unlikely heroes. The Bible stopped in Revelations. God keeps using us today. The question is simply this. Who are you a hero for? Who have you had concern for? Who are you willing to take a risk to have courage under fire for? Who are you willing to stoop down and to say, now, brother, I'm going to help you. Now, sister, I'm going to help you. And realize that when it gets hard for you to help somebody, you have to pray, God, give me the strength because I really want to let go right now. God, give me the strength because I really want to give in right now, because lifting them out of the mud ain't easy. Have you ever had to pull something out of mud? The mud tries to keep it trapped there. And the reality is there are so many people who are dying in the world and the devil has them trapped. And when you dare to stoop down and say, my brother, my sister, I'm going to lift you. We got to understand we can't do it in and of ourselves. We got to trust God to empower us. That's when we have to begin to say to ourselves, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that God can use me to be a hero. I'm out of your way, my brothers and sisters, when I tell you this. There's a story of a man, he's walking down the street one day, and he's on his phone, he's text messaging, and he falls into this deep well. He sees up, but he can't get up. There's others who come around, and they see him. They say, oh, man, somebody got to call somebody to help him. They see him down there, but they can't help him. Then another brother, he comes, he sees him. And he jumps out in the well with him. Man, says, dude, what are you doing? Now both of us are trapped down here in this well. Why didn't he just call for help? He said, my brother, I'm down here because I've been down here before and I know the way out. I simply want to help you get out. My brothers and my sisters, heroes simply have to be willing to go to where the problems are and to help somebody else. God can use you, he can use me to make a difference in somebody's life, but we have to get over ourselves and say, God, being a Christian for me means more than you just giving me stuff. It simply means I'm willing to be used by you to make a difference in somebody else's life. God, if you can use anything, you can use me. I'll be a hero. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for sending heroes in our lives.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For caring enough about us. That even while we were yet sinners, the Bible says that you sent Jesus Christ to be our hero, to save us. Now, Lord, we pray right now that going to church just won't be a routine for us. Having the title Christian just won't be a routine for us. But Lord God, we pray that you would help us to be a hero for somebody else, for some man, for some woman, for some boy, for some girl, that the devil continues to take advantage of. Help us to see it and to have the courage to do something about it, and then strengthen us to lift somebody. We need you. We cannot make it without you. Lord, use us to be unlikely heroes. We don't need a plaque. We don't need a war. We don't need certificates, Lord God. We just want to be used by you. So when we get to heaven, we'll be able to hear you say, well done, a good and faithful servant. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We stand all over the sanctuary, my brothers and my sisters. What's interesting, chapter 38, verses 1 through 13, is that Jeremiah is trapped in a cistern. Jeremiah does not even know that God has inspired Abimelech to do something on his behalf. Jeremiah is simply trapped in the cistern. And while he's trapped, God is already working his rescue out. My brother, my sister, maybe there's somebody here today. You feel trapped in a cistern called sin. You feel trapped and you've tried all that you know how to do to get yourself out, but the devil just keeps a hold on you. I want you to know that God has already worked out rescue for you. God has already sent a hero for you. Name is Jesus Christ. He jumped out into the well of sin while we were, because he knew how to get out. Maybe you hear my brother, my sister, you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've never accepted him as your hero. We invite you to do that today. Here at Uplift, we pray a collective prayer. We pray that because we want you to know that in this journey called Christianity, you're not in it by yourself. And so during the happy moments, we're going to be there to clap for you and say, oh man, God is blessing you. But then in the moments where it's tough and it's difficult and you want to throw in the towel, we will be the ones that God uses to be a hero to say, no, my brother, no, my sister, God is not done with you. So my brother, my sister, we pray a collective prayer that you know you might lose by yourself. Simply repeat after me. If you never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, maybe you want to rededicate your life to Christ. Simply repeat after me. Say, dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I've messed up. I admit that I need a hero. I accept that you sent Jesus to be a hero for me. I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day.
And Savior. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of